It's the Andrea Kaye Show on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. We are halfway through, my friends. Glad to have you guys here with me. 888-344-1170 before the break. Just reminding everybody about this deep state that's been going on trying to impeach and remove President Trump. And clearly the exploitation of this virus. The virus is real, but so is the exploitation of it. And the use of it for power and to deny us, to strip us, which they've already done, of all of our constitutional rights and liberties. And then debating on how much or how little they're going to give back to us in dribs and drabs if we're good girls and good boys. Here to discuss a new kind of way that civil liberties are under attack is Mark Chenoweth, and he is the executive director of the New Civil Liberties Alliance. And you business owners out there, but before we bring Mark in and discuss this case here, which I found fascinating, this is one of those stories where I think you might see it and not think it's that big of a deal until it starts happening over and over. And then you go, oh yeah, this is a huge deal. You business owners out there who think you're just going to make a little quip, you're going to say something funny in a tweet, think again after I talk to my next guest here, Mark Chenoweth from New Civil Liberties Alliance. Welcome to the Andrea Kaye Show.
Thanks very much for having me, Andrea. It's nice to be with you.
So, first of all, let's start with you telling everybody what the New Civil Liberties Alliance is and why you got involved in this story.
Sure. The New Civil Liberties Alliance is a public interest pro bono law firm and civil rights organization based in Washington, D.C. We were founded by Professor Philip Hamburger of the Columbia University Law School in order to represent people whose civil liberties are being violated by the administrative state, different federal and state administrative agencies.
Y'all got to be busy.
It's a target-rich environment, Andrea.
Yeah. Before we get into this specific case, you know, when I see what's going on here, and I was frustrated with Attorney General Barr and his, you know, his waste of paper yesterday with his statement that, you know, if they see any constitutional rights might be getting violated out there, they may have an obligation to step in as the Department of Justice. They're at everything from just starting with the shutdowns themselves, then you get into the details of it, has been stripping us of our constitutional rights, from First Amendment rights, the right of assemble, religious freedoms. The fact that anybody's telling me I got to put fabric over my face is a little too Taliban for me, Mark Chenoweth. How are we, before we get into this other case that involves a tweet, how are we going to get our civil liberties back?
Well, I think that the key is to not let what is a temporary situation become long-lasting. States do, going back to before the Constitution, even with the colonies, do have a fair bit of power at the state and local level to do things like quarantines if they're based on real science, if the quarantine that's put into place is commensurate with the threat that actually exists, and that probably is true in some places where some of the measures have been more reasonable, and it's probably not true in other places where some of the measures have gone overboard.
Well, there's certainly no science to tell me I got to wear today's new burqa over my face is going to keep me from getting a virus. There's no science to support that. And even if you think it might make sense, then you got to ask yourself, well, why haven't they been telling us to do that from the jump? Why did California wait until May 1? 6 feet? There's no scientific study to support that. It's arbitrary. It's capricious. It's meant to just reinforce panic and fear and provide a means of control and have us be subjugated. It doesn't make sense that you can go to the beach and you can walk, but you can't sit down by yourself. You know, none of this makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense, it's not true. And you're right. I mean, it should be temporary, but Gavin Newsom plans to have it be, he said yesterday, the releasing businesses, it's not about opening businesses. It's about changing the way they operate a year from now, 2 years from now, and 3 years from now. And so I'm hoping that there's going to be somehow, some way, whether it's lawsuits, like from Harmeet Dhillon or Department of Justice, organizations like yourselves that are going to be prepared to step in when it's clear that this Hugo Chavez wannabe in California ain't releasing his grip. He ain't putting got banana in one hand, hands around your throat in the other. Let's talk about this.
We have lots of cases that we're looking at very closely and some that we're close to being ready to file, but nothing that I can tell you about on this broadcast.
Well, we'll have to have you back. What struck me, this story that went on with a Federalist and Ben Domenech. Tell everybody what happened with his tweet.
Sure. So Ben is the publisher of The Federalist, which is a website, politics and culture website based in Washington, D.C. And you may remember last June when there was a walkout at the Vox Media, kind of left liberal website.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I think Ben thought it was amusing that there was a walkout at this left-wing website that purported to look after workers' rights and so forth. And so he posted a tweet on his personal website. This was not on his on the Federalist's Twitter. It was his personal Twitter, saying, FYI, at Federalist, first one of you tries to unionize, I swear I'll send you back to the salt mine. And, you know, he thought that was funny. And,
well, it is funny.
Too. And unfortunately, there was some random user on Twitter who apparently follows him because they got the tweet, but was not amused by it and decided to file charges with the National Labor Relations Board, alleging that Ben's tweet amounted to an unfair labor practice. So that's what happened.
So they've been looking for ways, just like the left wanted to use Trump's tweets against him, the court of law. You know, the left is looking all day, every day for how that they can control us, control the message. You can control minds. They want to seize control over every aspect of our lives. And the Federalist is putting out some of the best work out there, Sean Davis in particular. And so they would love to do anything that they can to take down the Federalist. And so they're trying to act as though some type of statute within the NLRB makes it open to just any stranger, as though anybody who decides that some business that they don't like, some conservative business out there that's got a fish in their ad, they don't like them, that they can go after them and have them punished, right? Isn't that
the
crux of it?
That's right. That's the problem is, and this is slightly technical, but The National Labor Relations Act allows any, quote, aggrieved party, unquote, to file a charge. And what that means is if you're an employee, for example, and there's an unfair labor practice at your organization, you can file a charge. But the NLRB has written regulations that say any person can file a charge, even though the statute says it has to be an aggrieved party. And so that's one of the issues we're fighting in this case, is to say, look, a random guy on Twitter who saw a tweet he didn't like can't file charges. And the NLRB should have known better than to allow this case to go forward. But the fact that they have allowed it to go forward gives us an opportunity to make this point and hopefully set this precedent.
Well, they're always using the courts in any way that they can, and using all kinds of weasel speak, you know, for power. How can some random person who doesn't have any association with the Federalist be aggrieved?
Well, he's not legally an aggrieved person,
right.
Figured out a way to engage the machinery of the government in order to harass someone whose political opinions he disagrees with.
Well, I think this is one of these stories that on the face of it, somebody listening might go, well, that's not that big. I don't know anything about Ben Domenech besides the fact that he's married to, you know, Meghan McCain. You know, why is this a big deal? Because this is kind of how the left operates. They're looking for ways in which they can push for more and burst through the dam. And think about the implications here, that if anybody from, you know, one implication is just that it suppresses speech, because you've got a business owner who's out there is going to not be, you know, on social media. People aren't going to be expressing themselves is one way, but also they can target a business that they don't like to have it taken down through these means.
Taken down or just interfere with the business. So, you know, none of Ben's employees, they thought it was funny, and they had a lot of comical responses to him. But yet you have this interloper who is coming in and trying to sow discord between Ben and his employees, and that is not what the NLRB, what the NLRA was passed to enable, and it's not what the National Labor Relations Board should allow either. I should point out that the NLRB is an independent agency, so people might think, well, how can this happen in the Trump administration? But you have to remember that there are these independent agencies out there, and the president has relatively limited control over what those independent agencies do, because he can't remove the members of those agencies except for cause. And if they do something he disagrees with, that doesn't necessarily arise to the kind of cause that allows those people on the board to be fired. And so there is a problem with independent agencies, whether it's this one or the Securities and Exchange Commission or the Federal Trade Commission, sometimes, or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, sometimes operating outside of their statutory authority or going above and beyond what the president would want to see them do.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that's become really crystal clear, thanks to President Trump, an outsider coming in and into the White House, is I don't think the average person had any idea what was going on in the administrative state with all these unelected bureaucrats and the power that they had and how they couldn't be fired at any level. Just complete unchecked power by people that don't have any, there's no accountability of them. They're not elected and they have more power than the President of the United States in some ways. They're untouchable. And we saw that with the FBI and the DOJ. We saw that in the whistleblower case with all these people from State Department trotting in, you know, acting indignant that the President of the United States wanted to enact his own foreign policy. We're seeing this with the CDC and the NIH, and now we hear this with the NLRB. People need to understand what's going on with our government. And thank you for bringing some light to that. And Mark Chenoweth, we'll have to have you back and update us on any further actions you guys are taking on behalf of civil liberties.
Well, thank you so much for having me and for featuring the work of the New Civil Liberties Alliance. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.